There's just not enough pan flute in the world. We really should have played, tried to find that Vegas ad. But it, I dropped that on you a little too late. I apologize. Is that it? I'm sorry. Let's bring in John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet. That's that Vegas ad, by the way, where the guys steal a vase and go into a casino chanting Campeones, 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 and everybody thinks they're like these big soccer stars and they treat them well, and then they go back to their hotel and the dude sticks the flowers back in the vase. I'm sorry. I've been thinking about that nonstop in relation to the Campeones Cup. So... And there's no reaction from you to that. I'm presuming that means that you do not see the humor in this particular.
I've never seen the commercial, so but it sounds funny.
It is. Okay, but you see. Is TFC ever going to recover from this? Because from losing the Campeones Cup?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is, I actually like the idea of the Campeones Cup, of there being an annual competition between the champions of MLS and Liga MX. I just think the execution was really poor. Mm-hmm. The timing couldn't have been worse for both teams.
Right.
I mean, obviously, Toronto has to play New York on Saturday on the road, and they're fighting to get in the playoffs. And, Tigres has to fly back to Mexico for a game on Sunday against Monterrey, who are their, big city rivals. So, I just think, I wonder why they couldn't have played this match, last month. Or even, I was kind of thinking about this. Create it like the Community Shield in the Premier League. Sort of make it as the curtain raiser of the season, before the season starts, and build it up properly that way. I just think to throw it in the middle of the season, during a crowded fixture list, it was a recipe for disaster, and I think we saw the results yesterday.
Right, and as you point out, I mean, it does, the competition does face an uphill battle for relevancy. That's a perfect way to put it. And I mean, look, and I'm one of these, and I think we're both on the same page. I think ultimately, MLS and Liga MX it's to their benefit to have a strong working relationship, however that manifests itself. I think it just makes sense for the continent's two biggest professional leagues to have a good relationship and quite frankly, to have some sort of regular competition. I mean, all kidding aside, I'm certainly not averse to that.
Yeah, I totally agree. As I said, I'm all for anything that kind of, sort of heightens the rivalry between Liga MX and MLS outside of CONCACAF Champions League, because other than that, that's really the only time we get to see the two leagues cross paths. So, and I think it's, despite it being a very one-sided rivalry with Liga MX sides dominating, I do think there's value in the rivalry. I do think it's still heated, and it's good to see. So, anything that helps that series along, I'm all for. Again, I think they just have to be much smarter in the way that they executed this.
So, Tim Bezbachenko, I think, has been pretty, and the TFC players have been pretty open about sort of where this regular season is going to end, John. Let's assume they don't make the playoffs, which I think is a fairly safe assumption. What can happen down the stretch here to maybe make this season a little more successful than it might otherwise be?
Not much, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I suppose by winning out or, winning even the majority of their games down the season stretch and maybe make it a little bit closer, that might be something. But ultimately, failing to make the playoffs, it's very hard to put a positive spin on that. So I'm not sure that there is much that they can do to make this much more palatable. I think regardless of what happens, if they don't make the playoffs, it's going to be a bitter pill to swallow. And I think the MLS season will quite rightly be viewed as an unmitigated failure.
I want to shift focus a little bit to the Champions League and the bizarre red card that that Ronaldo got. As far as I can tell, he rubbed the dude's hair. As far as I could tell, like you know, it was described. And I was watching the other match. I was watching the Manchester United match. So you know, I on Twitter and I see this. Oh my God, Ronaldo pulled this guy's hair, and I thought, oh come on, really? And I mean, I didn't see him pull his hair.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure if he sort of just patted him on the head or actually pulled his hair. Whatever happened, I mean, it was for a fraction of a second. And, you know, again, by the letter of the law, you know, anytime you put your hands to an opponent's head off the ball, then it's a red card offense. But, I mean, really, we got to give our heads a shake here. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hate to ask this, but have we really become so pedantic and reached a point where a tame infraction like that is deemed violent conduct? I mean, we have to exercise some common sense here. And I mean, it sort of reminded me of something that Michael Bradley said a couple of years ago when I can't remember what the incident was. They were playing. They had one of their players had was yellow carded for a foul. And, you know, everybody was in uproar because they thought, you know, he deserved to see red. And I remember asking Michael about it after the game, and he asked him, you know, should you know, the guys have seen red? And he says, you know what, I don't have a problem with what the referee did. Hmm. You know, the referee should go the extra mile to make sure that a game ends 11 versus 11. If it sort of disrupts a clear scoring chance, if it's an egregious foul where the player was harmed, then by all means. But if it's something for 50-50 or something that's so tame, then, you know, the referee has to use discretion and make sure that the game ends 11 versus 11. And that's just sort of, it reminded me of that yesterday. I mean, you know, again, such a ridiculous red card. And I'm not absolving Ronaldo. I mean, I think he bears responsibility on this because, but for his, you know, lack of composure and sort of acting out like this, then we wouldn't be having this discussion. But yeah,
probably just a good rule of thumb not to put your hand anywhere near your opponent's head.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
but again, I mean, you know, what bothers me is this whole, you know, letter of the law crowd.
Right.
Who, you know, it's you know, when did we become joyless ghouls? You know, who revel in and oftentimes celebrate in the application of the laws of the game. I mean, it's baffling to me. It really is.
VAR would have made a big difference in that situation, wouldn't it?
Well, that's it's an.
I think it would.
I can't help but wonder how, if you know, Champions League had VAR, you know, what the VAR team would have ruled. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I have to think that they would have saw it for what it was and overturned it. So, I mean, again, I think if anything good comes from what happened yesterday, hopefully it's that, you know, the introduction of VAR comes into the UEFA Champions League much sooner than later, because I think it's astounding that the tournament doesn't have it. I mean, the World Cup has it, Serie A, Bundesliga, Liga, La Liga. The only two sort of major leagues that I can think of that don't are the Premier League and UEFA Champions League. And that's just astounding to me. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it leads to, you know, VAR becoming reality in the Champions League.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we've seen it in use enough that the concept, if applied properly, I don't think it necessarily interferes with the flow of with the flow of a football match any more than a guy lying on the pitch for 3 minutes interferes with it. You know, and I made that point before. Given the choice of waiting 3 minutes for a guy to get off his ass, or waiting 3 minutes to the ref for a referee to get the call right, I'll wait 3 minutes for the referee to get a call right. I sure. Just will.
Yeah, or you know, how many times have we seen when, you know, players will crowd around yes. the ref after yeah. something, right? And he's got to sort of diffuse the situation, and that takes a couple minutes. So, you know, the game's rhythm gets broken up so many times by so many other things. So, I mean, you know, if we're talking, if that's the concern about VAR, then I just think it's misfounded. I would gladly wait the 2 to 3 minutes to make sure that, you know, consequential calls like the one yesterday are, you know, are correct and seen as right.
Manchester City losing 2-1 to Lyon. What'd you make of that? You know, that I watched most of that match, and I mean, I thought Lyon played pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I thought they were full measure for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Full credit to Lyon. I mean, they were didn't seem to play with any sense of inferiority complex. Didn't show Manchester City too much respect. They went for it. I mean, the two goals were bad errors by Manchester City. I mean, the one, I think it was Fabian Delph on the first one, was just, you know, an unbelievably bad defensive play. And then the second one was just a small turnover in midfield, and Lyon went the other way. But, yeah, you still have to finish those chances. And it's you know, for all of, you know, Manchester City's dominance in the Premier League, I think they still lack something in Europe. You know, I'm not sure quite what it is, but they haven't sort of really been able to transform their Premier League form into the Champions League. It's still early too. I mean, we have to remember this is only one game.
And so, they didn't have Kevin De Bruyne, so that
right. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, this is still early days, and I mean, if after match day six we're talking about them, mm-hmm. you know, finishing third or fourth in the group, then that's a bigger discussion. But I don't read too much into you know, the result yesterday.
No, but you know, it's an interesting talking point too, because I mean, one of the things with Pep Guardiola is there's always been that thing that perhaps, you know, no one's saying he's not a great coach or a great manager, but a lot of people don't think he has had the success he should have had in the Champions League in Europe, given the teams that he's coached.
I think that's fair criticism. I think when you look at you know, the teams that he managed at Bayern Munich and now at Manchester City, I think that's absolutely a valid point to make. When you look at the quality and the depth of talent that he has, you certainly want to think that he would, you know, have more European trophies. And it's interesting because it's the same criticism that was leveled at Sir Alex Ferguson as well during his mm-hmm. time at Manchester City, because, you know, they only, and I use the term only in quotes, only won, I think, 2 Champions League titles when he was there. But when you look at the size that he had, you know, the argument was always made that he probably really should have had more. So, I mean, this isn't unique to Pep, but, you know, when you look at, again, the teams that he's managed, the players and resources that he's had at his disposal at Manchester City and Bayern, you would certainly expect a bigger return in Europe.